The Transfiguration is a mountaintop experience, both literally and in kind of the more important sense of being close to God, having the consolation of God's presence, having that feeling and knowing that God is there, as opposed to when we're in desolation. Okay, so St. Ignatius of Loyola talks about consolation and desolation. Consolation is where, like I said, it's consoling. You feel God's presence. And then desolation is where it feels desolate. You don't feel God's presence. You know he's with you because you believe it, because he said so, but you don't feel like it's true. So I like to say that in desolation, all of your feelings are lying to you. And that's okay. You don't want to follow your feelings anyway. Right? The emotions are supposed to be the last thing in the train. The front is that's the intellect and then the will. And hopefully, now most people, I shouldn't say it is in the front. It's supposed to drive the train of your self, intellect and will. And emotion is supposed to be like the caboose. But a lot of people just decide, and we all do this sometimes, you know what? My emotions are going to decide everything. All of my life choices will be based on emotion. And this is very chaotic. This creates pain and chaos and bad things. So what we see here, again, is a mountaintop experience. It's consolation. Peter, James, and John are up on Mount Tabor with Jesus, and that is a long way to the top of that mountain. I was so glad we had a bus to ride on a road up to the top of that mountain. It's surrounded by valleys. It's surrounded by plains. It stands out like all by itself, kind of, right where Mount Tabor is. And they have this powerful vision. They see Jesus' face change in appearance, and his clothing becomes dazzling white. This is interesting that they have a glimpse of the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. Well, every time Jesus says something or looks at someone, God is looking at them. But his humanity really is hiding his divinity when most of the time. This is just one of those moments where Jesus' divinity is shining forth and shining through, and you can see God's glory on his face. You can see his glory, the glory of the Father, on the face of Jesus. And because of that, they don't want to leave. Peter says, it's good that we're here. Let's build 3 booths. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We can never leave. We just want to stay right here. That's what it's like when you're in consolation. It is good that we're here. Let's stay right here. We don't want to leave the mountaintop. We never want to go home. We don't want to see anyone. We never need to see our families again. I don't know. And you just want that, okay? You don't want things to change, whatever it might be. That kind of experience, I think, often happens for people when they go on a retreat. I've seen it a lot, especially youth retreats. And the way that you hear people talk about these in the church nowadays is very silly. Well, the way that I hear it a lot, they'll say this, oh, yeah. Maybe they're talking about their friend or their child or themselves. So-and-so went on a retreat, and he was all, like, really changed and everything and had this emotional experience. But then when he got home a week later, he did a sin, or, you know, he was talking back to me, or I didn't, you know, feel like God was close anymore, or I fell back into, you know, not really trusting God very much. So it was just an emotional experience, and it wasn't really God. Have you ever heard that before? How stupid, not very charitable. How silly, isn't that better? How silly. How silly is that when you think about Peter on Mount Tabor? He goes to the top of the mountain, he sees the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus, goes back down into the valley and denies Jesus 3 times and runs away at the crucifixion and doesn't, like, yeah, what would you say? Well, the mountaintop experience didn't do anything. What might he have thought? Well, that wasn't, he watches the crucifixion happen, where he wasn't really right there, but he sees Jesus get arrested. He knows what happened. He heard about it. And he says, Did that really happen on Mount Tabor? Was that really what I saw? I don't know. He's doubting himself. So, would we then conclude that the transfiguration was fruitless? I'm asking you, what do you think? Fruitless? Pointless? They were out to crucify me in 10 seconds. Of course not. Of course not. God doesn't do meaningless things. Okay? So, those times of consolation are really important. Now, I will say this. They go from the mountaintop experience into the valley. The valley is where, again, God does not feel present, even though he is. And when we're in the valley, we need to remember that I think a mountaintop experience doesn't have to be like a retreat or a specific big event. It can be that moment where you hear God speak and you know it's him. And when God speaks, that's always a moment of consolation, because hearing his voice always changes things in our hearts and in our minds. So he says something and you have this great confidence, you have this peace about, maybe you make a decision, okay? You have this great peace about it. And then you go into the valley and immediately, or at some point, you start to question, is this really God? Did that really happen? I don't feel like this is working out. And what we have to do in that valley is say, no, I don't feel like it's true, but I know that it is true. I believe. I don't feel like God is here, but Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so the thing is that if you look at the mountains and the valleys for Peter, James, and John, you have Mount Tabor is a mountaintop experience. Then they go back into the valley. Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He goes through his passion and his death, and that's a valley. And then he goes through his resurrection. And then you're all the way, the resurrection, they see Jesus alive, that's a pretty big mountaintop. They're back on the mountaintop. This is amazing. Jesus is with them. And then what does Jesus do? I'm leaving. Well, you're back in the valley, aren't you? They're back in the valley. They're like, oh my gosh, we had Jesus with us for 3 years, and that was amazing. And then he was crucified, and that was horrible. And then he's alive again, and that's amazing. And now he's leaving. Okay, what's the next mountaintop after Jesus' ascension? Yeah, the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down. And that really changes everything in like kind of a permanent, stable kind of a way. But so I'm not saying that the Christian life is supposed to be like, whoa. Like it's not, I'm not saying it's supposed to be a roller coaster, but I'm just saying that it is a roller coaster. Okay, anyway. And that it's not always, these are the extremes, okay? A lot of things are just kind of steady on, you know? If you're a steady on person and you're like, I don't know if I have a lot of these, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you for being you, okay? But these are the extremes that can and do happen. I think everyone, even if you're a very steady on person, everyone has these. So, in the times of consolation, St. Ignatius says, you want to really soak it up. You want to really write it down, what God is saying to you. You want to have a prayer journal. Because what's going to happen in the time of desolation? You go into the valley, you have to be reminded of what the Lord has said. And you might actually, it's amazing what you can forget. This is why I always say, have a journal. Because in the time of consolation, you'll think, oh my gosh, God just spoke to this. He just did this. He answered this prayer, whatever it was. You will be amazed what you can forget. Because I'll go back and read my journal and be like, oh, I forgot God said that. How could I forget that? That was so huge to me at the time. And it's really helpful to me now, but we can. So in those times of consolation, soak it up. And then in the times of desolation, you want to go back to what God has already said. One of the things that we can do here that where the evil one tries to get us is he tries to get us to change a decision that we've made in consolation. We get into a valley and we get into a desolation spot and he tries to get us to change our minds. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, well, we decided to join OCIA and it was going okay for a while, and then the cars broke down and we started getting in fights, and then this thing happened and that thing went wrong. And there have been a few people over the years who, and they knew, and like some of them knew because, I mean, Deacon Kevin was telling them, I remember this one particular case. Deacon Kevin was saying, just so you know, the evil one will attack you. You're about to be baptized and confirmed, and you're about to receive First Communion. Thank goodness, thank you, God, that he said that, because that's exactly what happened to several people. And they were like, oh, these things going wrong doesn't mean I should change course. Because sometimes when we make a decision, we start to go with it, we face resistance, we think, oh, no, this is wrong. No, this is wrong. I should change my mind. Sometimes that's an attack. What it means is you're doing something really important and really right. And you need to push through that and trust in what the Lord has said and stay on course, because the valley only lasts for a time. And then the Lord's consolation returns. And so, it all happens. Sometimes people get sick on Easter. And I've had people say, Father Dan, I don't know if I should come to Mass because I'm sick. One time I said, and I think this was a very prayerfully made decision. I said, no, you should stay home. We will confirm you. I will confirm you very soon, but I think you don't need to be there. And they were just sick, okay? And really, really super sick, okay? I said, no, it's okay. And then, like, there was another time somebody was like, I don't know if I should come. I'm sick. And I said, do you want to be here at the vigil? Yeah. Okay, I want you to be here, and I think that the devil doesn't want you to be here. So come and let's just pretend like you're not sick and we didn't know. And I don't care if you die even at the vigil. We're going to baptize you and it's going to be okay. It was good that this person came, because that was, I think that was an attack. So did they. A discouragement. This isn't really for you. You're not included. Everyone else is. Okay? The devil has, he knows how to get to us. All right? He has his ways. And we just want to stay on course with what the Lord has said in that time of consolation. So when and one more thing I just want to address here with this is the opportunities that we have in consolation. That's a wonderful time. Everybody would prefer that. We would like that to be always, and soak that up. In the time of desolation, we want it to be over. We want it to be done. I just want to say, in a sense, soak that up. Not soak it up, but because you want to resist your emotions there, but offering it up, like, embrace the fact that you can offer up to the Lord, in a sense, embrace the fact that you can offer to the Lord in desolation something you will never be able to give him in heaven. Going back to the pastor from the West Coast, this Protestant guy from the West Coast a while back, talking about how right now he can offer God something that he'll never be able to do in heaven. In heaven, for all eternity, he said, I'll be able to worship God from a place of joy. I won't need to trust him, because there's no faith in heaven. There's no need for hope. That doesn't exist anymore. We're united with God. The fulfillment of our heart's desires have been given. Like, that's what heaven is. So I'll be able to worship God from this place of complete joy and fulfillment. So, but there's one thing in heaven I'll never be able to do. Right? And it's not about drinking beer, okay? He said it's worshiping God from a place of desolation. When I don't feel like he's close. It's trusting God when I don't feel like he's close. It's following Jesus when it's hard. That I will only be able to do here, now, in this life. So in those times of desolation, do not be discouraged. Embrace the reality that you get to offer up the Lord something you will never be able to give him again. For this one short life that we have, that is a beautiful thing that we get to do. And it's up to us to choose it. It's up to us. And how do we do that? It is the same as Peter, James, and John. We have our eyes fixed on the face of Jesus. Seeing the glory of God shining on his face, having our eyes fixed on Jesus will allow us in consolation and in desolation to know and to trust that he's with us, to follow him, and to allow him to be the one that leads us through the cross to the resurrection.